observationally, we can see many different ways that the Holocaust has been used for these political means, definitely in recent history, but I think this is something that really dates as far back as when the Holocaust really entered the public's consciousness in a much deeper way from the 1970s and 1980s. Thinking of a bit more of a recent timeline than that, since the Holocaust has entered the national curriculum from 1991 onwards, I was wondering if you could both reflect on how the ways that we think and teach about the Holocaust have changed over that time.
So if I can slightly cheat and move a little beyond your date of 1991, just to contextualise the picture when the national curriculum is introduced. Prior to the national curriculum, the picture is one of immense diversity and variability, because obviously in most schools, people are doing what they have determined their curriculum to be. John Fox did a survey in 1987 where he found enormous variety and some serious weaknesses in how the Holocaust was being taught across England. And I think that comes down to the fact that understanding of the Holocaust as a discrete history was actually quite new at this time, and it had only just begun to filter down into secondary school understanding. The national curriculum establishes that there needed to be some form of explicit teaching about the Holocaust, but there wasn't much in the way of guidance as to what that would be. So that creates an impetus for schools to start to teach it. But throughout the 90s, there's no real cohesive sense of what that means, either pedagogically in terms of approach or in terms of content. What does it mean to teach about the Holocaust? Are you covering resistance, pre-war Jewish life? Are you talking about the agency of victims? Or are you just following a perpetrator narrative? There's no guidance on that at all. So that process sort of continues for some time. In 2001, the organization that is now the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance, or the IHRA, published guidelines that established pedagogical approaches for the first time. Prior to that, there was no unified sense of a pedagogy of this subject. I went to school in the 2000s, so the experience I kind of recalled at the start of the episode would be, I think, quite typical, or more typical than we'd like, of the kind of teaching that was going on, where even though every school had to teach the Holocaust, there was no indication of how well that was being taught. And our first empirical understanding of that obviously comes about in 2009, when the Centre did their study of teachers, which explored that there were serious misconceptions among teachers and among students that the Centre was created to respond to and to give training to address. Again, I'm not blaming teachers here. I think without access to training and CPD, it's an enormous ask for them to create a pedagogical approach and create a serious, rigorous and academically research-informed program on their own without some kind of institutional backing. And that comes about from the 2000s onwards. I would say the last 10 years have introduced a number of challenges, actually. So people like to fake the national curriculum as establishing the Holocaust as a subject that every student must study in the UK. But due to academisation and independent schools, actually a majority of students don't attend schools where the national curriculum needs to be followed. Now, that doesn't mean they're not studying the Holocaust. It doesn't mean they're not learning about the Holocaust. Now, research indicates that many schools and academies are, but they're no longer obligated to do so anymore. The new GCSE, which I mentioned earlier, has also created enormous restrictions on curriculum time. So you see the movement of the Holocaust to younger and younger pupils, which many people object to and see as inappropriate, because we're suddenly teaching 11-year-olds a history we used to teach to 13 and 14-year-olds. So that creates a change in how this subject must be taught, because we're addressing younger, less knowledgeable students than we perhaps were 10 or 15 years ago. The new Ofsted framework, I say new, it's not new anymore, has established a real rationale for curriculum, which I think is really important, because one of the weaknesses of Holocaust education, typically in this country, is a confusion around aims and rationale. So there's this confused sense that most teachers believe that there should be some kind of citizenship or moral component to teaching about the Holocaust, but many struggle to think about what that means and what that looks like in terms of assessment. How do we actually prove that if we do have these moral or civic aims, that they've actually been achieved via our schemes of learning on the Holocaust? And due to decreases in funding in the earlier part of this decade, there's been a real crunch on staffing. There's a retention crisis in teaching, and many schools are struggling to fill staff positions, which has meant it's harder for staff to get out and access continuous professional development, because there needs to be cover arranged, and these logistical things do have an impact where it becomes more difficult for staff to go out and improve their practice because they have such immediate obligations and such challenges in terms of workload. In terms of what Tom was saying earlier with regards to the positioning of Nazi Germany in the Holocaust as an other, as something very different that we compare ourselves to, I think that has become more pronounced with the introduction of the Prevent strategy and this idea of British values. So the British values are tolerance, mutual respect, democracy, and the rule of law. And I don't think it's controversial to say that Nazi Germany does not really meet the standards of the four British values, but I'm not really sure that the Britain of 1941 or even the Britain of 2021 particularly demonstrates those values either. But there's very much a sense that we are defining Britain against Nazi Germany in our comparison of these values and creating something of a false dichotomy. And that has become increasingly dominant in classrooms as that becomes the way that students approach questions of politics and citizenship and civics through a fairly simple lens of these four different values, which are supposedly explicitly British.
Thank you for that really comprehensive overview. It is really interesting.